this evening. Three verses that have been pressed upon my mind for the last little while. The first verse is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, these verses, probably you're all familiar with them, but they have been impressed upon my mind in the last little while. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The second verse I would like to read with you is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the third verse is in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, I think perhaps you might have been able to identify the word that really has impressed me in all three verses. It's the word called. Now, when I first came to Winnipeg, there was a brother in the meeting, Mr. Sawatsky, and several times in talking to him, he would say, you know, as you read and as you study the word of God, God will bring a verse. It might be a word, a phrase, or a verse to your mind, and you won't know why. And what you should do is just treat it just like a precious stone, and you put it in your pocket, and you keep it there. And perhaps from time to time, you will take it out and you'll look at it. But then after a little while, the Lord will give you another verse. And it will be impressed upon you, and you really don't know why. But keep it as a special treasure, a special stone, and put it in that pocket with the other one. And then the Lord might give you another verse, and it ties all three together. And you can take it out and you can enjoy the thought that the Lord was impressing upon you. And this is what I found with these three verses. Several years ago, 1 Peter 5 and 10 was impressed upon me, and I thought about that. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. And that's the part that was impressed upon me over and over again. And then I was impressed a year or so ago when I was reading through 1 Corinthians with that verse in chapter 1. Called unto the fellowship of his Son. And that impressed me. Called unto the fellowship of his Son. And then just in the past several weeks, I've been reading and studying in 1 Peter. And that verse in chapter 2 impressed itself upon me. He who hath called out you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it just seemed to me that these three verses line up in this way. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're looking at the past. Called us unto salvation. And you think of that day when you were saved. And you answered that call, and you are now a child of God. Then the next one, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Seems to me that that's today, the day in which we live. Called unto fellowship with his Son. And then 1 Peter 5 and 10 impresses me this way. That's the call unto glory. That's the future. We're going to be brought into glory. And so I just want to point out a few of the things that have impressed me in these verses. Probably there is much more could be said about these, but I would just like to look at a few things. For the first verse, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it seems to me that that verse is answering three questions. The first question it answers is, who are we? Then the second question it answers is, why have we been redeemed? And then the third one is, who has saved us? So let's look first of all, who are we? Well, that verse begins with, you are a chosen generation. And this is the way that impresses me, a chosen generation. We are a people picked out and appointed by God as a testimony to the generation in which we live. So that we are chosen to tell forth the gospel to the generation in which we live. And then we look at the next one, a royal priesthood. We are a people to be marked by dignity and reverence all the time. We are not to forget that we are always not only priests, but royal priests. 24/7, we are priests, royal priests. And then it says, an holy nation. In other words, we're a consecrated people. And one of the meanings that impresses me about holiness is the idea of living to please God. Our purpose is to please God in all we do. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to the people, could say, for I do always those things that please the Father. And our Lord Jesus was marked by holiness. And we're to be marked by holiness. And the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 10, he says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now that phrase, it really means, as you walk, seek to please God. And then we'll look at the next one. A peculiar people. It describes us as a people for a possession. We have been purchased by God, that we might live in this world as strangers and pilgrims. As strangers, the world should seem strange to us. And when the world looks at us, we should seem strange to them. And then we're to live as pilgrims. In other words, always our eye is to be focused on the glory. Remember that verse in chapter 5 He has called us unto his eternal glory. Our eye is upon the glory. Our eye is them. And when we look in Hebrews chapter 11, we think of those men and women of faith, and it was they looked for a better country. Their eye was on the end result. But then we say, we look in that verse and it says, why we have been redeemed. You and I have been redeemed with this purpose, that we might be a worshiping people, that praising God and showing forth the things of God should be our desire. I think of that, the fact that when we look through the Old Testament, then I think of Elkanah over and over again. I think of Elkanah, and year by year he would take his family to Shiloh, to where the tabernacle was. And that was good. But I think what is more important is that he went prepared to worship. And not only did it that, but he gave each of his family members something by which they could offer to God. And year after year he did. There came a day when he gave his son to be God's servant. And I think of the phrase, the expressions that are used for the man of Gadara. And I think of these often over and over again. And we'll read in Mark's gospel, and the Lord is speaking to him and he says, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. That's Mark's gospel. Tell them. But then when we come to Luke's gospel in the same story, and we read that slightly different. Return to thine home and show how great things the Lord hath done for thee. In other words, they were not only to tell them, but they were to show it. And you know, when I was taking teacher training, and when all the primary grades, the teachers were encouraged to have a period of time when the children could have show and tell. They could bring something, they could show it to the class, and they could tell them about it. Well, we have something that we have been given, salvation. And we can tell the people about it, and we can show how it has changed our lives. But then we look on in that verse, and we come to the third question. Who has saved us? God called us out of darkness to be his people. And in Colossians 1 and 13, we read that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So he called us out of darkness to be his subjects, to listen to him, to obey him. Yes, as a part of that kingdom. But then the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, could say, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And ye are the light of the world. And the Lord was saying, not only have you been called out of darkness to be his subjects, but you have been called to be a light in the world, that the world might see what God's people are like. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, we read these words. But as he who hath called you is holy, so you be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So we've been called to be subjects, we've been called to be a light, and now we've been called to live a life of holiness, or a life pleasing unto God. And then in 2 Peter, Peter speaks again of that, and he says, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called you to glory and virtue. And so we've been called to glory and virtue. But what do those words mean? What does it mean that we have been called to glory? The idea in here is our walk today. So that our appearance is to be God-honoring. And our very walk should glorify God. Then it's to virtue. Our actions are to be honest. They're without hypocrisy. When we speak the truth. When we make a promise to do something, we keep that promise. That's what impressed me about that verse. But then take a look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful who by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we should never forget who he is. He's our Lord. That means he has power and authority in our life. But we're called unto fellowship. And what does that mean? It means that the Lord has called us as his sheep. And he knows us by name. Now today, in many countries, in Canada, the United States, and in other countries, a name is often given because it sounds good. But that was not the case in Bible times, nor in some countries in the world. A name is given because of its meaning. And so when the Lord knows us by name, it means that he knows all our hopes and our trials. He knows everything we are going through. And he is calling us unto himself in our trials and in our hopes. And we look at that word fellowship. And this word fellowship in this particular place, it has the idea of companionship. He has called us to be his companions, to share in communications with Christ, to share what we are enjoying about him. And as we share what we enjoy about him, he will give us greater light in his word. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, but ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what that verse expresses that I used to hear lots of times when I was growing up? God first, others second, and me last. And that verse has that idea in it. Our fellowship, your fellowship with you and I, is with the Father and with the Son. And what is involved in fellowship, the Lord's fellowship with us? Well, I think of these verses, and I've thought of these verses over and over again in the last number of months. The Lord Jesus saying in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. What are you saying? I will always be with you right until I call you home. And then Hebrews chapter 13, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I think of this, that it was in the storm that the Lord drew close to those in the boat. And when they cried out to him, he immediately stilled the storm and the boat was to the shore. And they marveled and they wondered at this one that had saved them. But we need to move on quickly because time is almost up. So look at the last verse. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. He has called us to eternal glory. He has called us, and the glory is before us, waiting for us. And Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, could tell them this, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The kingdom began the moment you entered the kingdom, the moment you trusted Christ, and you were walking as a royal priest. But the glory is before you. And someday we're going to enter into that glory. And the Lord has gave this promise that where I am, there ye may be also. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, we read these words, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I think of this. He called us according to his purpose. But then he gave us the grace that we might fit in to that purpose, that we might inherit that purpose. And then I thought of his eternal glory. What is that eternal glory? And I thought of this, that the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And so that eternal glory is a place in the Father's presence. And then in Psalm 23 and verse 6, David is writing and he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he is confident that the Lord will always be with him. But then he looks on to the glory. And he says, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. He's looking forward to that glory. And then Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. For he looked, and it's speaking about Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for the glory, to dwell in the presence of the Lord. But then I think of another aspect of that eternal glory is in the things that will be ours, the things that will come to us. And first of all, it's a crown. And I thought of a crown. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Every believer is going to get a crown of glory, that they might lay that crown at the foot of the Lord Jesus and that day of glory. And then in 2 Timothy 4 and 8, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. Do you love his appearance? That crown is awaiting you. And so I think of this. There's a crown awaiting. But then what else is a part of that eternal glory is a commendation. And in Matthew 25, the Lord speaking, and he could say of how his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Every believer, I believe, will receive a well done for something they have done for the Lord. And they may never, ever know why. They may not be aware of that. I think it comes to my mind, we used to have, when we had the booth in the arena downtown, and I was there one night, and a fellow came along, and he was kind of, he wasn't the best of dressed, but he stopped to talk, and I was talking to him, and he said, I stopped at a booth at the Calgary Stampede, and they gave me a tract. And he said, I went home and I read it. And I believed it. And he said, right now, I'm going home to Hamilton to tell my mother that I'm saved. And I spoke to some from Calgary and I said, do you still have that booth in the, oh no. We never saw anyone ever get saved. Well, there was a man who got saved because of a tract that was given to him at that booth. And they never knew it. They never saw it. But they will receive that. That person who gave out that tract will receive that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But then I think of the last thing, and if you don't mind, I'll just go a couple minutes over. We will receive garments of beauty. Revelation 19 and 6 says this, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. What is it that they pleased God? Pleased God. Every believer has pleased God. They pleased God the moment they trusted Christ. You think of the thief on the cross. Those very words, Lord, remember me. And he pleased God. And his testimony has touched the hearts of millions and millions of people. And what will the Lord say of him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we think of that. Every one of us who have trusted Christ can look forward to garments of glory and beauty. So I think I have really enjoyed meditating upon these verses. And so I hope that some of you might be impressed with these verses. Shall we pray?